Minute, huh?
Yeah, the guest was afraid that I might not make it, but he's very, very adept at being a host himself. So if that had happened, then he could have, and so could have you, and we got all kinds of backup systems here, right?
Right.
Don't we? Okay, well, let's, since it's 6 minutes past 10 a.m., let's open the program in the traditional correct manner.
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know, on KSCO Radio.
Have we got a special for you today, ladies and gentlemen? Step right up. This is a program I've wanted to do for a long time. We're finally getting around to doing it today. Special guest, Dr. Stanley Monteith, whom you've heard on this station quite a number of times over the years. But I think the last time Dr. Stan and I were together on a Saturday special was on an historic day.
Morning, now stay right here.
I will never forget that.
I think that was around the middle of December, or December 15th or 18th, 1996. You told me some years after that that through your you didn't use this word, your through your career, and it was a distinguished career as a orthopedic surgeon here in Santa Cruz, practicing in Santa Cruz County. That's not what you were remembered for. You were remembered for Dr. Monteith takes on Dr. Wallach on KSCO Radio.
That's absolutely true, right. And you got tremendous coverage with that. That was a great program.
Whoa. I mean, it was a memorable program, put it that way. I don't know if there's anybody, there must be people in the KSCO listening audience. What is it, some 11 years later? Who can remember that program? It was 2 hours of just, I don't know how else to describe it other than verbal brawling. actually, the first hour was mostly verbal brawling. I did the worst job I had ever done as a moderator. I couldn't control anything the first hour. And the second hour, there was a little bit of control that I exerted. But that was definitely a train wreck radio for sure. Dr. Monteith, or Dr. Stan, welcome back to KSCO.
It's good to be with you.
You know what? We have a promo that we normally play right now, so let's just go ahead and do that, okay?
Many, many years ago, as a high school student, I had the opportunity to hear a very articulate and passionate gentleman by the name of Dr. Stanley Monteith address our American government class. At the time, Dr. Monteith was affiliated with an organization called the John Birch Society, which many considered an extreme right-wing group, and most of us high schoolers would roll our eyes at some of Dr. Monteith's dire predictions about the future, particularly concerning globalism and something called a New World Order. Fast forward 39 years to that future, today and now, and take a look around us. You don't hear much or anything about the John Birch Society these days, but Dr. Stanley Monteith is alive and well, retired from his medical practice, and more passionate than ever about spreading the word on what our government has planned for us, and it's not very pretty. Dr. Stan will join us, just you and me, on the next KSCO special, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Hard As It May Be to Hear This Stuff. You really need to open your eyes, ears, and mind. Radio, AM 1080, KSCO.
That promo sort of covered.
I think that was a very nice tribute. 39 years ago, I can remember going down to the local high school and giving those talks, trying to get people to understand, the young people to understand what was going on, and I'm sure most people thought I was really pretty far out. Of course, I've learned a lot since then.
I'll say it differently. We thought you were a nutcase.
I'm sure many people did, but, you know, as time went by, a lot of people were more afraid that maybe I wasn't.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what I... Now, I wish you were a nutcase.
Right. I wish it were true, but it really is true. And for one reason or another, I've just been put into a position where I've had the opportunity to sound the alarm, and I look upon myself as the fellow standing on the wall of the city shouting out, don't you know the enemy is coming? And nobody wants to hear. But my job is to warn them what's happening.
When did you figure this out? Who told you? I mean, how much? I wasn't acquainted with you before 1968. How long before that? And what was it that brought you to this?
Went home one evening in 1962 in June or July, and my family was out, and I wanted to watch a program. It was called The Naked City.
I remember that.
There are 8,000 stories in The Naked City. It was a wonderful detective story, and I got the wrong station, and there was an old man there talking about the fact that the media in America was controlled, that America was a republic and not a democracy, that Fidel Castro had been brought to power by our government, knowing full well he was a member or had been a communist for all of his adult life. And as I sat there listening to this man, I thought, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, because after all, I'm a graduate of the University of California. I got a Phi Beta Kappa Key. I'm really pretty smart, and if those things were true, I would know it, because I really didn't realize how foolish and uninformed I was at the time. So I started reading at the time. That was 1962, and by 1963, I was firmly convinced that what this man had said was true. And I set out to try to change the world very, very futilely. I should have realized, of course, that one person is not going to change the world. In fact, there were powerful forces aligned against me, and for many years I thought it was the communists. And then I came to be aware of the fact that the great tax-exempt foundations and an organization known as the Council on Foreign Relations, located in New York.
That's what I remember hearing about back in 1968. So you had already figured that part out.
Well, I'd already figured it out, but it took me a long time to realize that there was something else going on in the world. There was an X factor that everybody was missing, including the Birch Society. And so it wasn't until about 1982 when I heard a woman named Constance Cumby talk about this New Age movement. She was talking about a spiritual movement that was intent upon changing the world. And so then I began to research them, and I traveled throughout the world, and we interviewed presidents and ambassadors and generals. And
you were still practicing medicine.
I was. Well, of course, for a time I practiced in South Africa, because this is where a lot of these problems began. And then, you know, I would just close down my office for a week or a month at a time and travel. And, you know, I spent all my money doing that. But I wanted to learn. I had to learn. I had to put it together. And eventually, I think I've got a pretty good grasp of it. And as you know, since I've retired, I've been just writing and talking and doing programs, trying to educate people across America as to what's happening. We're going to lose America. We're moving towards a dictatorship.
Okay, before we get too much further, Dr. Stan, I've got to ask you the question. Who was that person that you tuned into in 1962?
It was Robert Welch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and he was the head of the Birch Society.
He was the head of the Birch Society.
Right. And you had never heard of him or the Birch Society before then. And what, he was buying time on the television?
Somebody had actually purchased time, put him on. Uh-huh. I think it was at one of our local television stations. And certainly he was a brilliant individual, one of the most brilliant individuals in the world. But he never told the members of the Birch Society the whole story. He told them part of the story, enough to get them to go along, but never revealed the whole story. And I'm sure
he
was well aware of
it. Did he know the whole story?
I think he did. But I think you have to understand that the forces we are up against are really, truly diabolical. They create an organized opposition. In other words, you never want to be in a battle unless you control the opposition. So they control the right and the left, the conservative, the liberal, the Republicans, the Democrats, and we argue back and forth and think we're accomplishing something. But in reality, of course, it's all decided ahead of time by the people who really control the wealth of the world. And these are not the people that you would really anticipate. And of course, the people on the other side even have websites up there. And I hope our listeners will get out their pencil and paper and make some notes on what I say and go up on the Internet and check out what we talk about and find out if this incredible story could really be true. Because eventually, Michael, I came to realize that this was not a political or a cultural or ideological battle. It was a spiritual battle. And there really are spiritual forces in the world. And, of course, it was this realization that caused me to become an evangelical Christian, even though I differ in many respects with many of the positions my fellow Christians are taking today as far as supporting the war and supporting the current administration. In fact, what is so strange, I find myself many times more aligned with people on the left who are speaking against the war and speaking out against torture. And so we live in a topsy-turvy world. And all we can do is just try to do our best and try to get people to think.
Strange bedfellows. There's no word to describe your politics or spirituality, I don't think, or no common word.
No common word. I just hope that I hope that I'm true to what I believe in and true to my Lord.
And have you changed over the years?
Well, I think many of my views have changed, certainly. We hope we get older and smarter. But we know we get older, and we just hope we get smarter.
Uh-huh. Dr. Stan, is it possible to encapsulate? I mean, it's sort of an unfair question, but I sure would like to do this at the beginning of the program. To encapsulate the message that you believe so strongly in and want to convey. I mean, and like within 2 or 3 minutes, is that possible?
Well, let me just read you something very briefly.
Okay.
Put out by the people on the other side and our listeners out there. I hope they will go to the website. It's called LuciusTrust.org. LuciusTrust.org. What is the Lucius Trust? Well, it used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. And these are people who worship the other God. They've given their whole life, just as I've given my life to the worship of my Lord. They've given their life to the worship of their Lord. And this is what they say.
Which is the devil.
The devil, uh-huh. Absolutely. Throughout time, the idea of a group of wise and enlightened beings working behind the scenes to guide our planet has conveyed in the spiritual teachings, in literature and myth, this group, known by various names such as the spiritual hierarchy, the masters of wisdom, and the elder brothers, has ever come forth in times of crisis, and today will be no different. Great teachers such as Socrates, Sri Krishna, Muhammad, the Buddha, and the Christ have all been members of the hierarchy, and they believe that there is a spiritual hierarchy that rules the world today, as they always have. And there's a secret that they've passed down for 5,000 years, and that is that Lucifer is the true God. And that if you put yourself under his direction, if you can bring yourself under his control, you'll get great power, you'll get wealth, you'll have whatever you want. But, of course, it comes with a price. And, of course, recently there's been a phenomenon across America. It was a book that came out and a DVD called The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. And Oprah Winfrey had featured this on two occasions, and Larry King and Jim Carrey and Ellen DeGeneres saying, this is the secret to the world. This is how you can bring a better life. You can have a better life. Follow Rhonda Byrne's teaching. Well, what Rhonda Byrne is really doing is putting people in touch with the other dimension. And unfortunately, this is the Luciferian dimension. There really are people who are in contact with that, some of them knowingly, some of them unknowingly. And we're involved in a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization or Judeo-Christian civilization. And I feel that we're losing that battle because most Christians have no idea the battle is even going on. And I think that summarizes it as quickly as I can. And I look at your face, and you're saying, he's really gone off. I thought he was crazy.
I still don't understand. I still don't understand. I have to understand something before I think a person's gone off.
All right, fine. Well, what I'm basically saying is there really are people who worship Lucifer. They believe that there are two gods. And that the crazy Christians and the Jews worship the wrong God.
Oh.
That they know the true God. And that God gives them power. And if you put yourself under his direction, you're going to do very well in this world. And many of them have. Some of the richest men in the world are aligned with this organization. I just mentioned the Lucis Trust. But I hope our listeners will go up there.
I've never heard of that before.
Well, of course you're not. Because they're not going to go out and tell people what they're really up to. But, I mean, there are really millions of people.
We used to talk about the Council on Foreign Relations, right. the secret organization. But it's not so secret. I mean, you could, if you look for it, you could find out who's a member of it and so forth. And
absolutely.
You always could back then when I was in high school hearing you talk about this secret society.
Well, but what nobody will tell you is that the Council on Foreign Relations is a front group for another secret society. That is a front group for another secret society. Now, for our listeners out there, this is described by Bill Clinton's mentor, a professor used to be at Georgetown University named Professor Quigley. And he has a wonderful book called The Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which was actually suppressed for many years. And I have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells about how after he published his book, Tragedy and Hope, somebody came and bought up the publisher, Macmillan, and destroyed the plates to the first half of the book so it would never be reprinted. Well, eventually it was many years later. But on page 952 of that book, he describes the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations as a front group for J.P. Morgan and the Small American Roundtable Group. Well, you read the book, you find the Roundtable is a front for the Association of Helpers, and they're a front for a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes back in 1891. What Professor Quigley and most of the liberals who've written about these organizations have missed is the fact that Cecil Rhodes and the men who surrounded him were all involved in the occult. The whole foundation of the secret society that created the Council on Foreign Relations came from the occult. What is the goal of the Council on Foreign Relations? A one world government. And of course, they're using the military and financial power of the United States to bring that about. Every Secretary of State comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, Democrat or Republican, every head of the CIA, every head of the Federal Reserve System, of the people who, either the president or the vice president, always comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. And this is true with our administration today, as it was under the Clinton administration, as it was under the Reagan administration, going all the way back, really, to the time of the Eisenhower administration.
Well, when I first heard about the notion of a one world government, I said, "Well, what's so bad about that?" And now, some 40 years after I first heard that and said and thought that to myself, it scares the hell out of me. And I think we're much closer to it now. What percentage closer? I mean, how far along are we in the 40 years or so that you and I have been acquainted?
Well, we're almost there from where we were then,
and where are we? Halfway there? Are we three quarters of the way there?
We're about 98% there.
Wow.
What they need a world structure of government. They have a world court. They have a world police force. They have a world parliament, which is the United Nations, an executive, a judicial. So they basically have everything in place for the world government. And they're using the power of the United States, financial and military, to bring this about. Now, their plan is basically this. First of all, to unite Europe in the European Union. The next step is to unite the northern hemisphere of the United States in what's known as the North American Union, Mexico, United States, and Canada. That's why they've refused to guard our border. That's why they've encouraged the Mexican illegally to come into this country. This is why the president has refused to enforce the laws dealing with immigration, because they really want to unite the United States with our two neighbors.
And I thought the reason was... pandering to get the vote.
No.
Which, that's not the reason.
Well, most of these illegals are not going to be voting. At least they shouldn't be. No. It really has to do with this dream. And remember, George Bush is simply a puppet. I mean, the man who really controls him is Dick Cheney. And Dick Cheney moves his arm, and George Bush's arm moves. Unfortunately, Dick Cheney is the man who really runs the White House. And there are lots of articles written about this. But Dick Cheney
you
comes
say
from,
unfortunately. I mean, would you prefer George Bush ran his own White House? Or does it matter?
I don't think it makes a bit of difference.
Uh-huh. So but, why did you say unfortunately? Because Cheney is
I think that Cheney is a very, very dangerous man.
More dangerous than our president.
Yes, far more dangerous. Our president is not very smart. I've met him. I've shaken hands with him. I've looked him in the eye. And I will tell you, if we have time later, I'll tell you about our meeting with the president.
Tell us that, now.
Well, this was back in 1999. And there were a group of Christian leaders who were gotten together. And we wanted to find a man that they could back for the Republican nomination so we could take back America and reclaim the once greatness of our nation. So they got together, the various Republican leaders and the people who were, and they, of course, they were all Christians. There were about 26 of us, and why I was there, I will have no idea because I'm not a leader of anything. I'm just an average guy who's concerned about it. But they brought in, Gary Bauer and Alan Keyes was running at the time. The Forbes was running. They brought in six people the first time who were running for the Republican nomination. And then we went back a second time to interview Pat Buchanan and George W. Bush. At that time, Elizabeth Dole, John McCain would not meet with this group of Christian leaders. But when we got there, of course, George Bush was there. He was at the time was the governor. And he sat in the center of the room, and we all sat around him in a round table fashion. And we each had one question. And so my question was simply, how do you feel about outcome-based education and this effort of government to take over control of education? And he said, oh, I'm against it. I blocked it in Texas when I was the governor. And, of course, that wasn't true. He had brought it in by executive order. But the most significant part of the conversation was the gentleman sitting next to me. And his name is John Stormer. And John had written a very famous book that sold 7 million copies called None Dare Call It Treason. And John is one of those very quiet people who are very thoughtful. And he said, Governor, if you became the president of the United States and someone was to, the Congress was to pass legislation on trade or perhaps on education that was unconstitutional, would you sign the legislation? If the bill was passed that was unconstitutional, would you sign it? And George Bush sat there, and he sat there. And after about, of course, he had been obviously told what to say in answer to every question that was asked him, but they hadn't told him what to say.
They knew what the questions were ahead of time?
Well, no, but I mean, there are certain standard questions that everybody asks. You know, in any debate, you almost always know what the questions are going to be, so they give you answers to uh-huh. all of those. And then if somebody comes up with an unusual question, you got to think on your
feet. Which is what this was, okay.
All right. Yeah. So George Bush finally said, I don't understand the question. So John said, well, I will simplify it. If Congress passed a piece of legislation that was unconstitutional dealing with education, would you sign that piece of legislation that was unconstitutional? And George Bush sat there and he said, I would have to go home and think about it. I really don't know. Now, this is the man who's the president of the United States who's sworn to uphold our Constitution. Yeah. After that, we broke up into small groups, and John and I were standing there, and the man who was the future president of the United States came over to John and myself, shook our hands, and said, you know, that was a very interesting question. I'm going to have to go home and think about that. And the frightening thing about it is he really doesn't understand the Constitution, which he's swore to uphold, and that's one reason we're in the trouble we are today.
Okay. You are listening to the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. We're going to be on for another hour and a half or thereabouts. Our special guest is Dr. Stanley Monteith, who has a message that he has been actively, very active. Talk about an activist. Dr. Monteith has been conveying this message for 39 years that I know of personally, and I know you were at it a few years before that. If you want to give us a call, you're welcome. This is a two-hour call-in program, And we can open up the phone lines in just a minute here. We already have Larry in Fremont on a cell phone about spirituality. Our phone numbers are 479-1080. The email address is mz@ksco.com. I will check the email during the show, and if there's anything worthwhile, I'll read it. If you want to use the fax machine, our fax number here at KSCO is 475-2967. And any of these phone numbers will need to be preceded by an 831 if you're outside of Santa Cruz or Monterey County. Okay, let's go to our first phone call. That would be Larry on cell phone. Hey, Larry, you're on.
Hi, Michael, Dr. Monteith.
Yes,
Yeah, you know, when I'm listening to you, there's certainly a lot I agree with you about, but I think this whole way you look at the world is basically delusional. I mean, you're a very gifted man. I know you're a wonderful alternative healer. You should stick with that.
Alternative
conspiracy
healer?
Conspiracy theories you're spinning. Well, let me just, I have some very specific points to bring up. These conspiracy theories you're spinning, I'm not saying they're all wrong. I think there's some truth in them here and there. There's little bits of truth. But it's mostly delusional. Let me put it this way. It's not a useful, even if it was 100% true, it's not really a useful way to
Larry,
work.
Larry, you're taking up a lot of time. Why don't you cite some examples and get real specific
okay,
here,
let me
okay?
Let me get to my basic point here. Okay, I want to know who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, in your point of view.
Great question.
Now, you say your source is Constance Cumby. So I take it that everyone who's not a King James only fundamentalist would be a bad guy.
I didn't say that at all.
Many years ago, I was initiated a witch. What witches do, and you were talking about the evilness of the occult and scariness of the occult. What witches do, and you should know this since you apparently are expert on the occult, what they do is heal people. They try to heal the world. They try to make it a better world. That's all they do. They're not interested in power. They're not interested in taking over. They're not interested in making your children into witches. They're not interested in hurting you. They're not interested in destroying Christianity. They just want to make this a better world.
Well, Larry, could I ask you a question?
How could that possibly be a bad thing?
Well, Larry, where does the power that the witches have? Certainly, the witches I've been in contact with have told me that they were trying to get in touch with the power from the other dimension. Is that where your power came from that you were able to use to heal people with?
Not the other dimension, this dimension.
Oh, this dimension. Where do you get the power to heal people?
Nature.
Oh, from nature. Where does nature get its power?
Well, I would say God.
What God?
the same as your God.
Oh, it's the same as my God. My God doesn't give nature power. I mean, there's no place in the Bible that says that nature has power. This, of course, is these are the occult beliefs, Larry. And I understand why you don't like me. You don't like what I say, and so you want to attack me. But if you could just point out one thing I said that wasn't true, does the Council on Foreign Relations really a front group for a secret society?
As far as I can tell, they don't have any power.
They don't have any power?
Yeah.
What do you know about that? How much time have you spent back at the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations? Oh. Have you ever been through their secret files
have? Okay, well, look. Here's the main problem I have, or the thing I want to focus on today. It's not all the political stuff, because I don't know that much about it, but the spiritual stuff. Because you're against every kind of alternative religion. In fact, you're against all religions except fundamentalist Christianity.
And you're in favor of being of witchcraft then?
No, I'm a Christian too.
Oh, you're I thought you were said you had been trained as a witch.
I said I have been, yeah.
Oh, I see. So you're an ex-witch and now you're a Christian?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that you're saying the occult is so evil, but I'm telling you that the people that I know that are in it do good things with it. They help people. They try to heal the earth. They try to heal other people. They're not interested in hurting anyone. They're not interested in destroying Christianity. They're not interested in turning America into a Marxist dictatorship, or you know, they just want to make this a better world.
And they're going to do that by casting spells and having their rituals and standing in the pentagram. Is that how they're doing it?
The pentagram is. That's something. The pentagram is something different. Witches don't stand in the pentagram.
Oh, they don't stand in the pentagram.
Actually,
all this
you're
is
confused.
Greek to me.
Wait. Let me clarify this.
Well, I think we probably could go on, but go ahead, Larry. Why don't you make your final point?
Let me clarify this. The pentagram is actually associated with Western occult tradition, not Wicca.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Two different things. You're talking about the ceremonial magician who summons demons and dark forces and so on, and puts a pentagram around himself to protect himself from the dark forces that he summons. That's black magic or
sorcery. Larry, we're getting too esoteric. I want to thank you for your phone call very much. You did ask one great question that Dr. Stan didn't answer. I want to hear him answer it here about who the bad guys are. I mean, it's they're probably a whole bunch of them, but give us some of them, okay? Thank you, Larry. All right.
Well, Cindy, we could go down the list of the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, about 4,000 of them, but they're not all bad guys.
Okay.
A lot of them are got into this because this is where the power is.
You did say one person was a bad guy, as I understood it. Maybe I misunderstood.
Was Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, right. Well, and that George Bush, our president, and it isn't a bad guy, just not a smart guy.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think that he certainly is responsible for what he's doing. He's responsible for deceiving the American people, getting us into a war with Afghanistan, and then into a war with Iraq. When, after all, the people who came here to America, if we're to believe what we're told, 15 of them came from Saudi Arabia, and Osama bin Laden came from a suburb. From Saudi Arabia, maybe we should have attacked Saudi Arabia because they have been the major funders of this whole world terrorist movement since its inception. But then we couldn't very well attack them because they're such good friends with the Bush family. And we even have a picture of one of them holding hands, one of the princes of the Saudi Arabian royalty, holding hands with George Bush. And of course, the Bush family is very tightly involved with the Saudi family act. Financially as
I've
well.
I've heard that a lot.
As far as Larry's call, I think it was a very important call. Larry, of course, has to attack me because he disagrees with what I say. So if you don't like what somebody says, you don't try to counter what they've said. You just try to attack them personally.
Okay, here's what I think. I didn't hear any attack from you. I heard... How do I describe it? Wishy-washiness on that phone. I didn't hear any attack.
Well, he said
Dr.
I was delusional.
Dr. Wallach attacked you. I mean, that's an attack. Well, what Larry did was not an attack.
The idea that we're delusional.
There was no substance to it.
Well, when you're called delusional.
He just said he disagreed with part. Oh, he did?
Yes, he did. What I would simply point out is that whenever you try to bring out the spiritual aspect of this, you're going to come under attack because this is really a spiritual battle. That's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield.
Okay.
And when people tell you that these witches are really good, they're trying to do good, that's the idea that there are white witches and there are black witches. And, those black witches are bad. But the white witches, they're able to use this supernatural power they have for dealing good, doing good, and healing people. And let me tell you that you don't want to be healed by a witch. Because if you are, and believe me, I'm not saying that they could not and sometimes heal people. We have interviews with a woman named Johanna Michelson, who was basically a medium who was involved with a spiritual healer, and she participated in 400 miraculous spiritual operations where they healed people who had been abandoned by doctors, people with tumors, brain tumors, all sorts of physical disabilities. And she was beginning to become a spiritual healer herself, and then of course she began to realize this was all demonic. There is a supernatural realm out there, and they were tapping into it. She went back years later, talked to these people who'd been healed, and they were all demonically possessed.
Billy in Capitola, you're on with Dr. Stan and MZ. Oh,
yeah, this morning, guys.
Oh, hello there. Sorry, I had to pot you up there.
So, Dr. Stan. Clearly, America is on a difficult spiritual path.
You have a radio on? It's echoey.
No, I don't have a radio on.
All right.
Ann Coulter this week was referring to America would be much better off when we become an all-Christian country, when the Jews are finally perfected. I wondered your take on this.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to have a perfect country, and I don't think we want to be a Christian country. I think that we need people to hold Christian values, but I don't think we should ever force people to accept a faith. This is a personal matter. It's between you and the Lord. So, so much of what Ann Coulter says, I tend to disagree with.
So, you would say that the Jews, in fact, are perfect the way they are? And don't
no, I don't think anybody's perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. I don't think any of us are perfect.
Is a Jew an unperfected Christian?
Beg pardon?
Is a Jew an unperfected Christian?
No, of course not. I mean, there's certain times people will leave the Jewish faith and they'll become Messianic Jews. They're still Jews, but they become Christians. But that certainly is up to the individual. I believe God has a plan for the Jews. I think he has a plan for the Christians.
If God is, as we would imagine him to be, all-powerful, how is it that he allows these witches all this power? Why doesn't he just not
because,
have them?
Because he gives us free choice. And people can choose him or they can reject him. They can choose the dark side or they can reject it. Why he has done what he's done, I'm not smart enough to figure out. But I do know that we have free choice to choose good or evil. And unfortunately, many times people choose evil.
Except people who listen to KSCO.
Right, of course.
With a few exceptions.
But I will tell you that there really is, if you choose the dark side, you may very well have tremendous wealth and tremendous power, but at a tremendous price.
Okay. Thank you very much, Billy. Craig in San Jose, welcome to KSCO. You're on with Dr. Stan.
MD Dr. Stan. I think the people Larry hangs out with are probably just pagan witches who like to party and hedonists want to do what they want. I don't think they have much power, but... Before I ask you, Dr. Stan, who this George Soros is and what he wants to accomplish, you're a real deep-thinking, intelligent guy, and, you know, you have a real impressive background. I'm going to throw this question out to you. What is the origin of evil?
Well, the origin of evil, of course, begins with Lucifer, and these are philosophical questions that nobody's ever been able to answer. Why would a merciful, all-powerful God allow evil in the world? I don't think anybody can give it. The philosophers have debated that for 2,000 years, and even before the advent of Christianity, this was one of the questions that was asked by the Zoroastrians. And I'm not smart enough to answer that. All I know is that there's evil in the world and there is a God, and God has given us free choice to choose between good and evil. And because if there were no evil, if we had no free choice, then we'd simply be automatons. We could, everybody would love God automatically, but it would have no meaning. It is only when we have that choice, either to love him or to reject him, that our relationship with him does have meaning. But that's about as far as I can get. I am not a theologian.
Well, I have a theory, if you want to hear
it. All right.
I mean, I don't know the answer, but I think way back when there wasn't no time, it was just God and his angels. I think whatever his name was back then, or whatever they wrote his name, Hillel or Satan or whatever, I think he wanted to be the son of God and the ruler of the earth, or maybe even before that realm, the ruler of the earth. I think he was jealous of Jesus. I think God had a different plan, you know, and he wanted to be, you know, the number one. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Well, this is very, very similar to the Gnostic beliefs, and they, of course, believed that there was one supreme God, and then he had sort of a son. His name was Iadelworth, and he wasn't a very good God, but he created the heaven and the earth. And then, of course, the real God was Lucifer. That's the Gnostic belief.
I mean, that's not my belief, Gnostic
right.
belief. I'm in the same, you know, religion as you. But, I want to hear what this George Soros would be. What player is he in all this?
I think he is probably somebody who's gone over to the dark side. He's been very well rewarded for for going and aligning himself with the dark side. He's made billions and billions of dollars at the cost of tremendous suffering for people throughout the world, where he's actually toppled economies. He did that in Malaysia here, probably 6 or 8 years ago, and just toppled the entire economic structure of Thailand and Malaysia and, you know, just destroyed the entire industry there by manipulating currencies. But George Soros is a brilliant man. But so many of these people, and of course you can align them with the count, with the Trilateral Commission, that is probably one of the centers of this power structure. But their ultimate goal of all of these people is a world government, a new world religion, and, of course, a new world leader.
Is there one guy, in your estimation, that has more power than anyone else?
I think there are a few people who do, but certainly there are probably people out there we don't even know about who are hidden within the shadows, who are working towards this goal of a one-world government.
Well, the only name I've heard is Dick Cheney.
Yeah,
but
Dick
give me some others. Give me some others.
Thanks,
that you believe.
Oh, certainly George Shultz.
George Shultz?
Yeah, George Shultz. So go down the membership list of the Trilateral Commission. Zygmunt Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger. I don't have the membership list with me, but David Rockefeller certainly organized this whole thing and is one of the major driving forces in this country. David Rockefeller.
Yeah,
in fact, David Rockefeller was, if you really believe that Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the richest men in America, you've been listening to Rush Limbaugh too long. I mean, David Rockefeller's family has really dominated America for over 100 years. And, of course, the people who surround Rockefeller and, the people who are involved with Exxon and Chevron and Chase Manhattan Bank and Citibank, I mean, they all tie into this whole incredible power structure.
Okay. I've got some questions to ask.
All right, fine.
But what we need to do is do a commercial break, because we haven't done that at all this hour, right, Dave?
That's right. We've got 5 minutes of commercials.
All right, let's do that. We'll be back. So stay with us. And if you want to call us, it's 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to email us, it's mz@ksco.com. It's Dr. Stan and MZ on the Saturday special right up until noontime today.
And basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes.
And they're coming to take me away. Ha-ha.
Hey, it's MZ with a secret for you to feel much better, even if you already feel great. I'm talking about finally cleaning junk and clutter out of your life, and about finally taking down that dangerously hanging or dirty tree you've been meaning to deal with forever. Now, I realize it's fall, not spring, but I can assure you that there is no law preventing you from doing spring cleaning in the fall. Okay, here's the secret. Pick up the phone and call Community Tree Service and talk to Regina or Naomi about getting their charming and well-equipped boss, Adolfo, out to your property for a free quote for your tree or cleanup job. Adolfo knows what he's doing and has all the right people and tools to get your job done the right way, on time, and at reasonable cost. Don't put it off any longer. Call Community Tree Service now at 763-2391 and set the wheels in motion for you to feel much better. Community Tree Service and Dumpster Rental, 763-2391. That's 763-2391. Call now. Hey, it's MZ. I want to share one of my very private emails with you. It's from the famous Andy of Kitchen Express in response to my request for him to email me bullet points for his new ad. Hey, MZ, here are the bullet points. Celebrating our 10th anniversary and have become Santa Cruz's oldest continuously owned kitchen and bath showroom, recently voted Santa Cruz County's number one kitchen and bath showroom by my son. Featuring 12 lines of custom and modular cabinets for all areas of the house, for all budgets, with over 20 years of experience and expert computer kitchen design and consultation. We know our stuff. Countertop headquarters for Corian, Silestone, Caesarstone, and Zodiacqua quartz counters. Nobody does it better or quicker. Decorative plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath. Come see our working shower demonstration featuring multiple shower heads and working steam shower. Come and take a shower. Extensive selection of cabinet hardware. Up to 60% off every day. Thanks, MZ. Andy. Kitchen Express is located on the Frontage Road just off of Highway 1 at Rio Del Mar. Exit 662-3700.
This is Bill Lambert of Lambert & Son Moving, your local family-owned and operated mover, serving the entire Monterey Bay region for local moves and relocations throughout the state of California. Call Bill Lambert at 420-0419 for a free, no-obligation estimate. 420-0419. Moving advice is always free. no job too small or too large. Always free use of our wardrobe boxes, plus all package materials are available. Our clients, family, and neighbors will be treated with the utmost respect and courtesy. I guarantee it. Lambert & Son Moving is licensed and insured. California PUC T number 189973. Call Bill Lambert at Lambert & Son Moving at 420-0419. 420-0419. Or go online at www.lambertmoving.com. Let our family take care of your family's move. 420-0419.
Halloween is coming. Do you have your pumpkins? New Life Community Services Pumpkin Patch is located at the corner of Thurber Lane and Soquel Drive between the drive-in and Dominican Hospital. You'll find a huge selection of pumpkins in all colors, classic orange, red, green, and more. And you'll also find pumpkins in all sizes, from baseball size to over 100 pounds. Our pumpkins are 100% organically grown. Don't forget to bring the kids in costumes for a photo opportunity in front of the hay bale pyramid or the inflatable tunnel. Buy more than one pumpkin and receive a discount. And present your pumpkin patch receipt and receive a $5 discount on your Christmas tree purchase when the Christmas trees arrive. Teachers, we have bus parking, so bring the whole class and save money. The New Life Community Services Pumpkin Patch is open daily from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Friday and Saturday till 10 p.m. New Life Community Services Pumpkin Patch, located at the corner of Thurber Lane and Soquel Drive between the drive-in and Dominican Hospital. Mention KSCO or KMY and receive $2 off each pumpkin that you purchase.
When it simply must get done right and on time and on budget, call ALS Construction of Marina. ALS is a licensed construction company that remodels, renovates, plumbs, electrifies, paints, and cements on time and on budget. Listen.
Hello, I'm Dick Beaumont, broker owner of Beaumont Property Management in Monterey. It's a distinct pleasure to add my endorsement of ALS Construction for any of your remodel, repair, or maintenance projects. Our requirements for maintaining and improving client property are numerous. ALS Construction, for more than 7 years, has consistently exceeded our expectations from initial estimate to final cleanup. If you can imagine a project, ALS can handle it.
When you need to get the job done right and on time and on budget, give ALS Construction of Marina a call. ALS Construction offers free estimates, fair prices, excellent references, and guaranteed work. That's ALS Construction of Marina, 831-521-6888.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. MZ here with Dr. Stan. And we have a number of people on the phone lines waiting to go on the air here. We've got about 8 minutes left in this hour. And then a whole additional hour ahead of us, right up until the top of the noon hour. And, boy, I wish we would have had the mic on during the commercial break here, because Dr. Stan told me some really, really fascinating things here, which we will we'll go into some of those, but probably next hour or something like that. Let's see. Here is temporarily unbanned Mike in Santa Cruz. You're on.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I first heard Dr. Monteith, I'm guessing it was 1970 at Santa Cruz High School in Robert Lissner's class.
Oh, then this isn't the mic that I thought it was. Okay, you're go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, it's a pretty common name.
Uh-huh. Do I know you?
Oh, well, we've actually never met. You know, my dad was an optometrist.
Gotcha, okay.
And when Lister introduced Mr. Monteith, he did a pretty good job of kind of warning us, and I found him very very interesting. He can speak a long time on the subjects. The only thing I ever found lacking, you know, if you want to sit back and criticize, is you don't hear, at least I don't remember hearing a lot of solutions, and I still don't. What is the answer other than the world's coming to an end and the sky is falling?
Well, I believe, really believe, if we don't have a revival in America and our people turn back towards God, why, we're going to lose this country. Politically, certainly, I would support Ron Paul. I think he's an honest man, and that's why the media is not covering him. He's the only candidate running for the presidency who talks about the Constitution, who wants to get out of Iraq, who wants to do away with the IRS so we can keep what we earn, and wants to do away with the Federal Reserve System, which has destroyed the value of our currency. And but Sidney,
he's making amazing progress lately.
I know he has.
Yeah.
But politically, you know, you had a president there, and then you have people in Congress made up of these same guys out there with outstretched hands, and most of them are on the take. We've got the finest politicians money could buy. Until we have moral people in government, nothing's going to turn this country around. What's the solution? I think having a personal relationship with our Lord, and I hope that maybe if I appear, one or two people out in the audience maybe say, maybe there's something to this. Maybe we ought to check out this idea that there really is a Lucius Trust. Maybe we ought to check out this idea that there really are powerful spiritual forces. And, of course, it was that realization, this organized evil that I saw back in 1962 that transformed my life and has motivated me for 45 years to do what I do.
Well, there's no doubt you have been determined. You have been as consistent as the day is long. I give you credit for that.
Well, thank you.
But I find it so hard to agree. I try very hard to listen. I don't want to be combative. I'm not combative with anybody, basically. But you're so very light on solutions, and the country becoming Christian doesn't seem like much of a solution. That seems terribly unrealistic.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, if you go back and study the history of America, by the time, first of all, you remember, of course, the pilgrims got here about 1620. The people arrived at Jamestown at about 1610. But by 1730, this nation was totally corrupt. I mean, we talk a lot about immorality now. Well, that was what America was in 1730, and then came a great revival. It was called the First Great Awakening, and there were John Wesley was here, Jonathan Edwards, and there was a great revival in America, and it was out of that great revival that came this demand for separation from England, this idea of creating a republican form of government where people could be free. Well, of course, that was in 1787. By 1830, we were once again pretty corrupt. Licentiousness, sexual immorality, homosexuality, they were all here at that time. And came the second great revival, and that was 1830, 1840, and America turned around. And, well, I'd like to see a third great revival, but most people don't understand the history of this country and the important part the religion has played in where we are today. And unfortunately, this country has turned against God, and as I think as Thomas Jefferson said so well, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever.
Well, I agree with you completely that the far left in this country, and most Democrats, are very anti-religious. They're not just not in favor of, they're anti-religion, because people with faith aren't going to buy what they're saying. Yeah, but then again, you come across as an isolationist to me, and I don't see how that fits into the world picture and the modern world we live in today.
Well, it doesn't fit into it. What the world we live in today is wants to unite into a one-world government, under a one-world religion, with a one-world leader, and that will be, of course, the destruction of humanity as we know it, because I believe that one-world leader will be Lucifer himself.
But let's just take Iraq, and then that may not be the best example, or we'll go back to World War II. At some point, you have to be willing to take a stand against what I consider to be evil in the world.
You're absolutely right. Do you want to talk about the Second World War?
But where is that line? If with you, I mean, I don't disagree with. I'm not a particularly religious person. I have faith. I know that this what we have here didn't happen when two rocks hit each other.
Okay.
I think I'm smart enough to figure that one out, but I don't belong to a particular religion, but I have a lot of faith. And but I do think you have to be willing to draw a line and take a stand, and
I think that's
where I get lost with Ron Paul. I like a lot of what he says.
Yeah, so do I.
And I like a lot of what Pat Buchanan says until.
All right, well, let's take a rock. Can we
yeah,
take a rock?
Yeah, let's do that
let's,
right
let's
now.
Let's get in the background.
You know what?
Rock.
We're going to have to cut this short, but we will finish this up at the next hour. Because I really want to get
All right,
into
fine.
It. Really
I would love
Iraq.
To let's get into the background of why we should not be in Iraq today.
Start it out. We have a minute.
All right, fine. First of all, Saddam Hussein was an employee of the CIA. I have books written a decade ago pointing out that Saddam Hussein was a CIA assassin in the 1950s.
So what?
Well, very simply, because all during the 1980s, while we financed him, we gave him $5 billion. We gave him the material to create his or build his chemical and biological weapons. We gave him the intelligence. In fact, we encouraged him to attack Iran, and then we helped him use the chemical weapons against the Iranians. I can document all of this if you'd like to. Now, then, of course, it was during that following year, the decade, in the 1990s, and there's a wonderful book. It's written by a man named Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent. It's called See No Evil. Okay. He points out that repeatedly the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein.
Our clock must be way off here. Yeah, our clock is way off here. I'm sorry here.
Well, that's okay.
We should have cut into Fox News quite a while ago. It's KSEO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 11 plus something.
Allies are fighting. In Baghdad, David McDougall, Fox News Radio.
Free trade with Latin America, the topic of President Bush's weekly radio address. The president asking Congress to pass free trade agreements with Peru, Colombia, and Panama.
These three agreements will expand America's access to 75 million customers. These 75 million customers are the equivalent of the populations of California, Colorado, Ohio, Michigan, Tennessee, and Massachusetts combined.
The president also wants to open more free trade with South Korea. The Democratic address today centered on children's health insurance. I am Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Global warming, cool change.
Have you ever thought about reusing plastic wrap and aluminum foil to do your part for the environment? Probably not.
Actually, while reusing foil and plastic wrap is good, not using them in the first place would be fantastic.
Producing recycled aluminum uses 95% less energy than producing primary aluminum. So if you have to use aluminum foil, buy 100% recycled.
Here's a source for recycled aluminum foil on the internet. Go to www.ifyoucare.com.
As for the plastic wrap, try using those reusable covers that look like shower caps or the reusable containers. They have them sized for everything from sandwiches to bananas.
I even know some people who wash and reuse their plastic bags. Makes sense.
More tips to combat global warming with a cool change are ahead on Fox News Talk.
The Justice Department says it will review the prosecution of 8 Florida boot camp workers after their acquittal on charges of manslaughter yesterday.
It's a tough pill to swallow. You know, you kill a dog, you go to jail, you kill a little black boy, nothing happens.
That's a spokesman for the family of the young teen. The boy, 14 years old, videotaped being punched and kicked by guards. A Minnesota woman recovering after an operation to remove a tumor from her midsection. And this wasn't just any tumor. This tumor weighed 33 pounds.
I had no pain, no symptoms of any kind. I just kept getting bigger in my stomach and thinking that perhaps I was just gaining weight in the midline.
Judy McGinnis thankful that the ovarian tumor that was removed was non-cancerous. Tainted toys getting some toxic company in the makeup aisle.
Not even lipstick is lead-free.
Lead, you know, much as in paint, acts to bring out colors. It makes them darker and deeper.
Cindy Loopy with the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. They say an independent lab tested 33 red lipsticks, finding one-third had lead levels above the FDA's limits for candy. There are no official limits for finished lipstick, and don't bother checking the label.
There's actually no way of knowing whether there's lead in your particular brand of lipstick or not.
The FDA now planning to investigate. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Accolades still coming in for former Vice President Al Gore on his winning the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize. Last American to win the honor, former President Jimmy Carter.
I think Al Gore richly deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. He's been the foremost leader around the world, certainly this last year, and even for the last 20 years. He's been a champion of environmental equality.
Al Gore won the award, Nobel Peace Prize, for his work on global warming. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, October 13th, 2007. Today's forecast calls for mostly sunny skies this afternoon. Highs should be around 67 degrees with winds north-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, you can expect clear to partly cloudy conditions with lows around 47 degrees and winds southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, we'll start off partly cloudy, getting sunny by the afternoon with highs around 70 degrees. And tomorrow night, you can expect partly cloudy conditions with lows around 48 degrees. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 6 feet at 10 seconds and southwest 1 to 2 feet at 14 seconds. Outside the studios, it is 61 degrees. The time is 11:06 and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host MZ right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Just in from Serial Faxer, actually an hour ago. Today is Dave's birthday. Like a cheap pair of underwear, another year has crept up on him. Sorry, no illustration. For obvious reasons. Does he mean you?
He means me.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
That was part one of the of Serial Faxer's facts. We have a Serial Faxer here, you know, who sends in things. He makes light of things on the that he hears on the Saturday special. That was part one about Dave's birthday. Part two is to your guest, the sky hasn't fallen yet. And part three, Birch Society, do they go around and trim trees? If so, kudos to them. Don't just trim the left side. Well, anyhow, that's a you little levity for the program here today. We're talking with Dr. Stanley Monteith on the KSCO Saturday special. You are invited to participate. Dr. Stan stands for alerting everyone who will listen about what our government has planned for us.
Well, not our government. Because I believe in our government. It's simply that the wicked people who've actually taken over our government, that's what I object to. We have a wonderful form of government. We have a constitution. It is still the law of the land. And, of course, the people who've gained control of both political parties don't believe in the constitution. The only person who actually stands for the constitution is Ron Paul. And, of course, the media doesn't even bother to mention him.
Thank you. And we do have quite a number of callers here. We do have space for two or three more callers at 479-1080. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll finish up with Mike in Santa Cruz. But before we go on much further...
Do you want me to finish on why we should not be in Iraq today?
Yes, yes. I definitely want, but not right now. Just give me a second here. Just give me a second to make this announcement, okay? You spoke about someone named Quigley last hour.
Professor Carol Quigley,
yes,
right.
Carol Quigley, right. Okay. Now, there is another Quigley who was a talk show host on this station, Richard Quigley.
Right.
I don't know if you ever listened to Quig on the station. Quig passed away last month. And today, 1 hour after this program concludes at noon, in other words, at 1 o'clock, at the county government steps, there is going to be a memorial service conducted for Quig, and I'm making a beeline for there because Quig was one of my favorite people. And I just want to put that out. I'm sure there are a lot of people who already know about this, but consider this a reminder. If you want to pay your tributes and respects to Richard Quigley, this is the time to do it. Little less than 2 hours from now, it'd be 1 o'clock. At the county government steps on 701 Ocean Street in Santa Cruz. So that's where I will be, and hopefully I'll see a bunch of you guys there too. Okay.
Quigley believed in America. He believed in freedom, and he fought for it all of his life.
R. Quigley.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
The other Quigley was a globalist, believed the Council on Foreign Relations, believed we needed one world government, and of course, he since he was an atheist, he didn't understand the spiritual aspects of it, but he totally identified himself with this other movement. The Quigley we have here loved America and really fought for it all of his life.
How well did you know Richard Quigley?
I talked to him several times. I interviewed him once or twice.
Uh-huh.
But I think he was an idealist. He was an American. He didn't understand a lot of the things we talk about, but he knew that America was different because this was a country where men could be free. And, of course, he felt that they were certainly passing all sorts of laws to take away his freedom. And, as you know, he made an issue out of wearing a helmet when he was riding his motorcycle. And what was so amazing was that he was able to win several of the lawsuits that he brought against the county.
Yeah, I believe that Richard's radio shows on KSCO radio shows during the noon hour are archived on his website. I think it's freedomfighter.com. Someone will need to call to give us that information. I'll pass it along before the hour is out, hopefully here. We're going to finish up with Mike in Santa Cruz real quickly, then we're going to go to Andy Anderson in Las Vegas here. Mike, go ahead and finish up.
I'm going to finish up with that people like Richard Quigley and people like Dr. Monteith are vital to keeping our country in line. I don't always agree with them, but it's there aren't many people with the determination that those two people had on particular issues. I have never seen someone with the determination and the perseverance. And because I guarantee you in my civics class at Santa Cruz High School that 99% of the eyes were going, oh, my God.
Well, I hope maybe that you may not totally agree with me, but at least some of the things we were talking about, I hope provoked you to begin to think. And that's why I do what I do, to try to get people to think.
And, it's a good thing there are people who are willing to spend their spare time doing it instead of going skiing and doing a lot of other things.
Mike, your attitude has changed decidedly between last hour and this hour. I mean, you were not angry or upset with Dr. Monteith ever, but last hour, your main point was, I don't hear any solutions out of you.
Well, I still don't. But, you know what, but your mentioning of Richard Quigley, and I'd thought this of... So many things I thought, well, this guy's just off the deep end. But someone has to fight the establishment on some of this stuff because laws just get made.
Yeah.
And no one sits up and says, you know, this is baloney.
Yeah.
And
well, again, anybody, I don't, if you got the time, definitely go to salute Richard Quigley at 1 o'clock today. Hope you'll be there if you can. It'd be nice to meet you again, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your call. Here's Andy Anderson from Las Vegas.
Hey,
how you doing, Andy?
Good morning. And warmest regards to Dr. Stan from both myself and my wife, Phyllis.
Hi, how are you?
Just right. Well, it's really been a great hour. I've enjoyed every second of it. I could probably fill up the next hour sort of just responding or confirming a great deal of what you've been addressing, Dr. Stan. But for those folks that are listening that don't quite get this, I'd like to recall a glaring example of how the New World Order is finding its way into our country. And I can't be real specific on dates because it's been a while, but there's an organization called the World Trade Organization. And some years back, because of our environmental laws, we were not to import any Venezuelan crude. And the reason for it was that the crude had an extremely high amount of sulfur in it. So our lines say, nope, can't bring that stuff in. It's too much sulfur and too costly to get rid of it. So Venezuela went to the old World Trade Organization. And guess what they did? They said, whoops, the laws of the United States do not apply. Your Supreme Court determinations do not apply. And you will import Venezuelan crude. And this, of course, sets precedent and establishes what laws are the supreme laws of the land and which ones aren't, and what you have is essentially a group of guys sitting around a big table globally saying, nope, this country's Supreme Court rules don't apply, but this country's do. So they are, in fact, determining on a global scale what laws are and which are not sovereign. And I remember when I was doing radio, Dr. Stan, I tried to address heavily with regards to NAFTA. And then, of course, President Bush is just apparently, I guess they've just completed, Costa Rica apparently is going to join in on the
CAFTA.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm saying this only to try to, so folks listening are kind of in the middle or on the fence, don't really know what to think about all this stuff, that our nation's sovereignty and our laws basically don't apply anymore if this group of people, World Trade Organization and other organizations, decide otherwise. It's a dangerous time.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, what they want is North American Union, South American Union, African Union, Asian Union, Arab Union, and they're going to unite the world. But, of course, this is not going to be a benevolent world government. It's going to be totalitarian, and they really do intend to kill off most of the people in the world, because they have a different worldview. And, of course, that's another two-hour program. Maybe Michael will have me back again.
Well, and let's just address very briefly what went on in Europe. We have the Euro today.
Sure.
We have the United States of Europe, and it moves itself on. Two real quick things. Being mindful that our Bible tells us that we're dealing with spiritual principalities here, and that's something I think it's very easily overlooked and forgotten about. And yet, there it is. And the other thing, I don't know why people are so uncomfortable with the idea of being a Christian, because the epitome of that simply represents the kind of a man or a woman you are. And what you were addressing, Dr. Stan, is absolutely correct. It's when a nation elects people of low caliber, of low morals. I remember when I was doing radio, I was appalled that Bill Clinton was elected. I had one foot nailed to the floor. I could not believe it. My mother addressed it quite well. She said, well, Americans aren't Americans anymore. And then, in fact, we had some bumper stickers made up back then, and is it 1996 yet? We just couldn't believe this man was elected president. What I knew about him was this was not a God-centered man. This is a female-centered man. And now we have the spirit behind him. You're talking about Cheney Bush. But people don't realize the spirit behind Bill Clinton, of course, was Hillary. Now, look what we're dealing with now. She's now the next one, very possibly, could be our next president.
Probably. Don't you agree, Dr. Stan? I mean, like 90% she's going to be the next president.
We'll just have to wait and see.
What do you think?
Well, I'm going to be curious if the man who received the Nobel Peace Prize yesterday is going to come in the race, Al Gore.
I don't know who's
more dangerous, Al Gore or Hillary. But it's a choice between being shot or being hung, and I don't like either one of them.
Well, again, Americans have got to start taking all this seriously.
I know.
It's just, and you've tried for years. I made a feeble effort for the little bit of time that I was doing radio. I still have a copy of the Wall Street Journal. Again, going back, I did a brief talk with Peter Frazetta at the South County Firearms Group in Morgan Hill or Gilroy, I can't remember. And the Wall Street Journal had just come out with a full-page ad where Bush won, was announcing, quote, the new world
order.
With that, I'm going to get off the line and listen on the internet.
Okay. All righty. Thanks, bye-bye, Andy. Good to hear from you. Here's Neil in Hollister. You're welcome to the KSCO Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station and mine. And
good morning, gentlemen.
Tim Z and Dr. Stan. Hey.
It seems that no matter where I was living in the country, I was always able to find a radio station that had one of Dr. Stan's broadcasts on. So I've listened to his resonant voice for many decades, and I'd like to say out front that because of your relaxing and reassuring voice, I suppose I feel a certain affection for you, even though I don't agree with many of your tenets. But I've never heard you spew hate. I've heard people from the left and the right to get very angry and whatever, and that's just not your style. You're quite the gentleman.
That's true.
Now, on to the specific issues. Your first two callers were from the far left. Larry, I don't know if, Michael, you're aware of this, but Larry has had his own radio shows on small public radio stations for years.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Ah, well,
but that's
now
okay.
You'll be forewarned.
That's okay.
And Billy Sunshine attempted to ask Dr. Stan a question. It was a trick question designed to make Dr. Stan looked like a far-right Ann Coulter-loving Christian ideologue, and I thought Dr. Stan handled the question masterfully, even to the point of dissing Ann Coulter, so Dr. Stan didn't take the bait. Now, with regard to John Birch, and I found that over the years I realized that I could not embrace many of the beliefs without becoming very depressed. It's just so negative, and I find the negative to the many of the far-right beliefs very similar to the negativity espoused by the far-left. I don't think
Dr. Stan
be a
has
person.
A very, very strong constitution, because if I knew what he knows, I would be so depressed I probably wouldn't want to live.
But well, actually, this is what amazes me most. Because for Dr. Stan to believe what he does and to be as pleasant as he is, it amazes me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his faith has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Well, but I really, you know, I've been at this for 45 years, and I'm really more optimistic than ever before, because I do believe all across America, really across the world, because we have listeners across the world to many of our programs, and people are beginning to wake up, and there is a growing awareness, and all we can do is realize that this is not my battle. This is God's battle. I'm called to do my best. And so I don't have to worry whether we win or we lose, because I know I've done what I'm supposed to.
Okay.
Well, I don't doubt that there are definitely, I mean, historically, you can see that there is a movement afoot to bond nations in certain areas and then ultimately, presumably, connect them all together worldwide. But I think that any true believer, whether they be a global warming disasterist like Al Gore, a Muslim who wants a worldwide caliphate, or a Christian zealot, I think they all put their own template for instance, when hurricanes come into Florida, for most people we say, well, hurricanes came into Florida. To a lot of Christian fundamentalists, that's God punishing Disneyland for having a gay day. You know, it's difficult for people who have strong beliefs to see the daily happenings in the world through the lens of their ideology. And quite frankly, I don't see a whole lot difference between Muslims believing that an iman is going to climb out of a well after X number of hundreds of years, and Jesus coming back. To me, they're both very fanciful notions. But I will say one thing, and that is that if you judge religions by their works, Christianity comes off looking mighty great. And for the left to have to, you know, go back to the days of slavery or whatever to diminish Christianity, that's pretty pathetic.
Well, thank you, and I just hope you keep listening.
Thank you, Neil. Good to hear from you. Here's Jan in San Lorenzo Valley. You're on, Jan.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to thank Dr. Monteef and you, Michael, for this program. This is a vitally important thing. Dr. Monteef, would you agree with me that the attack on our Second Amendment, our rights to own guns, is take away our defense against these people?
Absolutely. And then after all, before you slaughter the people, you take away their guns. They did that with the Armenians. They did that in Rwanda. They did that with the Jews in Germany. They did it in Russia. They did it in China. There really are people who are planning a dictatorship in America, and that's why they want to disarm the American people.
Thank you. That's how I feel about it, too. There's a great website out there. It's www.jpfo.org.
Yeah, that's a Jew. That's the Jews for the preservation of the right to keep firearms, right?
Right, and Aaron Zellman is the one. And there's a couple of his videos, Innocence Betrayed. It talks about how the taking the guns away from people all over the world, how all of these incidents have played out in various parts of the world. And he also has one, Death by Gun Control. I haven't seen that yet, but I want to see that.
I've seen it. Aaron is doing a great job.
He's fantastic. So what the American people need to do is to stand up like they did with this the illegal immigrants.
But the illegal immigrants are being used in this whole thing, just
course.
As we're being. They want to play us one against the other, and they've created a situation where these illegal immigrants, many of them have almost been forced to come in. NAFTA opened up the border so that we could ship all of our subsidized corn into Mexico, and you had the poor dirt farmers working on a farm in Mexico. They couldn't make a living, even growing corn there. And what were they going to do to feed their families? Why, they knew they could come to America, and we would not stop them at the border, and we would provide free health care and free education and food stamps. They get a good job here and ship money back to their families. Understand that we're all being manipulated
in
this.
And they undermine our country.
Right.
I just saw the movie Beyond the Gates about Rwanda. Mm-hmm. I recommend that to people, but I don't recommend it on a... going out for a date or anything like that, because the effect it has on you.
Right.
Once you see it.
Okay, thank you, Jan. Appreciate your call. It's 11:25 on AM 1080 KSU, hour number two of Saturday special with Dr. Stan and MZ. By the way, the correct website address for Richard Quigley's, I know he's got another one, because I was talking about being able to grab some of the old KSCO radio shows that he did, and I didn't see him anywhere on this website, but it's a wonderful website, USFF, U.S. Frank Frank. USFF.com stands for USFreedomFighters.com. It's a elegant, wonderful website. If you look at some of the comments and so forth, and Quig was just great, and we're going to miss him big time. And once again, if you want to join the group, and I'm going to be there at 1 o'clock at the 701 Ocean Street at the courthouse steps, County of Santa Cruz building. We're going to remember Richard Quigley there. So all of you who are listening. Who think highly of Quig and just want to pay your respects, great time to do it, about an hour and a half from now. 479-1080 is the phone number if you want to participate in the... Hey, look at this. Our own Chris Spencer. Hey, Chris, you're on.
Oh, wow. Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to read a thing here I got from the AP News. It was in April 5th, 2002.
Okay.
I wanted to read it for... Mr. Monteef. In late September and early October 2001, the leaders of Pakistan's two Islamist parties negotiated bin Laden's extradition to Pakistan to stand trial for 9/11. However, a U.S. official said significantly that casting our objectives too narrowly risked a premature collapse of international effort if by some lucky chance Mr. bin Laden was captured. The U.S. chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Myers, went as far as to say that the goal has never been to get bin Laden. That's from the AP on April 5th, 2002, and you can get that online. And I just wanted to read that for him so, you know, he could hear that. And just that kind of helps the plan for the new American century agenda. And I know Mr. Monteef knows about that, too. So,
Chris, thanks for adding to the program.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it.
You guys have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And let me just point out that we never went to war to catch Osama bin Laden. If anybody thinks that he had anything to do with what happened on the 11th of September, 2001, I suggest they go to their internet. And they simply Google in FBI, 10 Most Wanted, and that'll take you to the FBI 10 Most Wanted page. And then there's a picture there of Osama bin Laden, the charges against him. And they say he's wanted because of the bombing of the embassies in Kenya and Tanzania and other suspected international crimes. Not one mention of September 11th. Because the FBI doesn't consider he was involved, it's amazing that the FBI doesn't know what all the other people in America know, and that is that Osama bin Laden was behind this. Check it out. The FBI does not mention him, 911 at all, and people have asked him why. They say, well, there's no evidence. There's no evidence he was there. And yet, of course, we went to war in Afghanistan. We went to war in Iraq. We've killed over 1 million people there. And what have we accomplished? Well, the whole purpose for the war was basically so we could keep our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East and as a base for our coming attack on Iran. Heaven help us.
Wow. Gee, now we don't need to get into it. I think you've said it all, huh? About the earth. I definitely wanted to. I haven't forgotten about this, you know, why we got into Iraq thing.
Well, that's why we got into Iraq. And anybody who doubts that can go to the website, www.newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. That's the website that was established by the Project for the New American Century with memberships with Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, Elliot Abrams, Gary Bauer, who was there to lead the Protestants.
Dr. Stan, I got to know this question.
What's that?
I got to ask
Jeb Bush,
question.
Yeah. But anyway,
are you one of the 9/11 was an inside job people?
Well, let's put it this way, that they had called for another Pearl Harbor. If you read this, go to the website, pull down Rebuilding America's Defenses, and you
it's
read
okay
that.
If the answer is yes, but I'd like a yes or no answer to that question.
I believe that if you see Building Number 7 come down, and you watch Building 7 come down, it was a controlled demolition at 5:30 in the afternoon, 5:20 in the afternoon. And if you watch the pictures, and you can see them on the Internet, just Google in Building 7 coming down, you'll see that the center of the building collapses, the center of the roof collapses first. That's what you do with a controlled demolition, so it'll collapse inward rather than fall outward. And then, of course, the base of the building dissipates. How did Osama bin Laden get those explosives into Building Number 7? I would simply ask you, how did he do it? There was no reason for Building 7 to come down, and if they lied to us about Building 7, they lied to us about everything.
Wow. Heavy stuff. For the record, I have always wondered about that Building 7 business. It just didn't make sense at all. I'm willing to consider that it all is not like it is portrayed or like it's been reported. I am a very strong believer, having visited Dealey Plaza, that there is no way in the world that there was that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only shooter of President Kennedy. I'm absolutely positive of that. And anybody who goes there and stands there and will realize that I'm right on. And that's a conspiracy theory that I believe the majority of the American people go along with. It's not what the government, the Warren Commission, reported. Wow.
Well, we could talk for 2 hours on that.
We really could. But I'm going to get to all the callers. If you're waiting, I know some of you have been waiting a long time. I promise we're going to get to all of you. So please stay on, okay? Our phone lines are jammed. But I've got to ask you this. Wow. If you honestly believe that it's an inside job, I mean, I believe that it very well could be.
I believe everything was planned ahead of time. If you go to
by our government,
by certain forces within the government. I'm not saying that the president knew about it, because when you have an operation like this, you never tell the president. That's why on the morning of the attack, when he was in there talking to the children, I remember about he was reading a book about a goat or a rabbit or something, and they came and told him, you know, what had happened. He sat there. He was scared to death. I mean, he realized the implications.
He didn't know what the hell to do, yeah.
He didn't know what to do. He was totally helpless. And, of course, he gets into his plane and flies off someplace. You know, while the man takes charge is Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney's in charge that morning, directing everything.
So you think Dick Cheney knew?
Oh, of course, Dick Cheney knew exactly what was coming down the line. But, you see, you couldn't tell the president. You had to have plausible deniability. We know that what this was all about, simply because if you read the book... Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton, their summary of what happened on 9/11, and basically they quote on page 180 from Condoleezza Rice when asked, "Look, you knew something was going to come down. Why didn't you do anything?" And she says, "Well, we really couldn't do anything. You had to change the perspective of the American people. They weren't willing to give up their freedom or change their outlook until there was a major event." And that's why we didn't do anything. and I'll be glad to get to the page, and you could read it when she was. They had to have a major event.
Okay.
And of course, 911 was the major event.
Suppose I, and magically, everybody in the United States are to right now sign on to your belief about 9/11. Okay, is it still too late to do anything?
No, of course not. This is all.
Well, what can happen? What can?
Well, if we become
as enlightened as you.
All right.
Believe you are, and maybe are.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
If I become as enlightened, and I use the radio station for the few months I might still have it, to use the station to convey that to people who might think I have some credibility. Will the world change?
No, but you know, if there were enough people like you across America and everybody agreed, then the world could change. Because America is the key. As America goes, so goes the world. And if there were a spiritual revival in America, everybody wouldn't have to become a Christian. But if there was just getting back to what God's word was, that the Jews believe in the Old Testament, the Christians believe in the Old and New Testament, and we had better people who were willing to get involved, we had people running for Congress who had really held high moral values, or we could elect Ron Paul for the president, who knows what could happen. But the biggest thing is the changing the hearts of the American people. And if everybody believed as I do, I think that they would recognize there's evil in the world. If there's evil in the world, then there must be another force out there on the other side.
Yeah,
and that's what
I think everybody believes that there. Certainly, everybody who listens to this radio station believes that there is evil out
right.
in the world.
But this is organized. There is
organized
a force behind
evil.
It, and of course, this is influencing what's going on today.
Organized evil.
Organized evil. And anybody who doesn't believe it, just go to lucistrust.org. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House.
L-U-C-I-C-U-S.
L-U-C-I-S. Lucistrust.org.
L-U-C-I-U-S. All righty. Next caller, Dave in Santa Cruz. Comments for Dr. Stan. You're on, Dave, on KSCO.
Hi, guys. It's a great program this afternoon. Thank you so much, or this morning, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I have known Dr. Stan and you, Mike, for a long time, and I'm just wanting to relate to the listening audience what helped me understand what Dr. Stan is saying. Years ago, one of the first questions I asked you, Stan, you may recall, is did they actually have meetings? And you said yes. And I did some inquiry into that. And the thing that's helped me most to understand and believe in what you say is when I found out about the notion of patience. The Fabian Society, for example, who are intertwined in the early years of this thing, are very, very patient. And people are very impatient in today's society. We have computers. We can't wait. We need cable modems. We need to go faster and faster and faster. And if people would have an idea of looking through the world with eternity's value in view instead of just the next couple of moments or years, they would begin to understand how all the dots are connecting together from some time ago.
Right.
And that's what opened it up for me when I began to look at things with eternity's value in view and the notion of patience that these people have. They don't have to have the end today. They're willing to wait for the next generation or the generation after that to succeed in what it is that they have planned
over such a long time. So maybe we're not 98% there, Dr. Stan.
Well, they've been at it for a long time. We're about 98% there. Uh-huh. If I could just suggest, I wrote a book. It's a simple little book. It's called Brotherhood of Darkness, and it basically begins to outline how all of these groups, it's not one group, is not the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission, but a myriad of groups, but all joined together by one goal, and that is a one-world government, a new world religion, and, of course, this one-world leader. That is what they really all want.
I agree, and I think maybe one of the reasons we went into the Middle East was to protect our dollar from the euro in some respects, too. We're seeing that raise its ugly head, and I'd be interested in knowing what you have to say about that. Thank you so much for being on there. MZ, thanks for having Stan.
Okay, Dave, which Dave are you? You say you know me.
I'm Dave, who lives in Pasatiempo, who Stan can explain to you who I am.
Okay. I don't want to give your name on the radio. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Next caller will be Gary and Satan Cruz. Hello, Gary and Satan Cruz.
Michael.
Hey. Dave, our call screener, put up Dave and Satan Cruz.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, it says Satan curse is what it says.
That might be appropriate.
Our own KSCO City of License. We poke fun of it all the time. Oh, well. Go ahead. You're on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, good morning, Michael.
Hi.
Listened to your station a long time. Last time I called was probably when Dag was there.
Oh.
But Dr. Stan has got me going this morning. I tend to agree with a lot of what he says. I just wondered if he ever heard of an author named Ralph Epperson.
Oh, sure. Ralph's a personal friend.
Okay. I've read both of his, at least two of his books. The conspiratorial view of history versus the rewritten one.
One's called The Unseen Hand.
Yes.
One is called The New World Order, and the third is Masonry, the Conspiracy Against Christianity.
Okay, I haven't read the third, but I've read the first two. The first one was very, to me, made a lot of sense in regards to the League of Nations and why we had the First World War.
Sure.
And then that failed, and they brought about the Second World War, financing Hitler and Stalin and Russia, and thereby bringing about the United Nations to further the cause, since the first part failed, made a lot of sense to me. And I when I look at the Iraq war, and I will admit I voted for Bush twice, and I curse his name now. I consider him like Bill Clinton. The biggest thing is the border. When I look at the Iraq war and then I look at our border and no control at all, I'm just going, how can that be?
Most people that I know who are upset about the open border situation are very much in favor of continuing the Iraq war, whether we should have been there or not, because it's not a good, doesn't send a good message if we cut and run or whatever.
Yeah, I tend to believe that, but also when I look at how he has conducted the war, the first part. And then you can question whether or not I Dr. Stan, your point about Saudi Arabia and why we didn't go in there, I'm sitting there going, that makes a lot of sense. I am open. When I vote for someone, that is not a lock, a lock. I don't back them no matter what. And that's the problem with a lot of people in this country.
Yeah.
Is they vote for someone and then they just stick behind them for good or evil.
Yeah.
And I classify George Bush now as, just like I classified Bill Clinton, a traitor to this country. Bill Clinton sold out all the technology, MIRVs to China, on and on and on, Loral Space Corporation used, all that. And yet what they tried to impeach him for was an intern in the White House. Granted, they tried to, they had another room where they had other information, and of course the Senate just, that was too much for them. Thank you very much, Traitor Trent Lott.
But you have to understand, really, because Bill Clinton is tied into the Masons, why, of course, and Trent Lott was the head of the Senate. He was a Mason, 33rd degree Mason, and all the Masons who were Republicans switched off to the Democratic side, and there was no way they were going to be able to impeach him. And besides that, as you point out, they didn't go after him for the right reasons. I would have impeached him for turning over our most important military secrets on targeting of our intercontinental ballistic missiles, turning those over to the Chinese communists. That was a treasonous act.
Yeah, how come no one ever did that? I don't even remember.
Well, they tried
discussion
to.
About
would have
that.
No part of it.
Right. You have to understand.
I guess I missed that.
So much of this has to do with keeping idle minds busy. We never talk about the important issues. We focus on the unimportant issues, and of course baseball and football. But we never talk about the important issues that are going to influence the destiny of America.
Well, regarding religion. I'm not a Christian, but I'll tell you what. When I look at the Constitution, I see the rights are granted from God. You think which side I'm going to pick, God or Bush or Gore or the other, rich and powerful out there that are working towards our ends.
Gary, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Tony in Santa Cruz.
Thank you very much, Michael.
You
Good
bet.
Luck.
Tony in Santa Cruz, you're next. You're on KSCO. Tony, go.
I'm on?
You're on.
Okay. Let's see. First of all, Michael, I'd just like to quote you one little line of a song as an aside. It goes, paranoia will destroy you if you let it.
Uh-huh.
But that's just an aside.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to qualify myself. I'm a multi-generation alumbrados. That's the Iberian version of the Illuminati. My father and my grandfather, et cetera, all were alumbrados, which means illuminated, same thing as the Illuminati.
Okay.
And that we are deists, and the core group that founded this country were deists. That's where the word God, creator, et cetera, comes from, not from Christianity. The founding fathers got to play the game like everybody else of pretending to be Christians because it was anathema at the time to be anything else but a Christian. But they were deists. That's where all of our symbology, all of our...
Okay, you got to get to the point here. You're taking too long, Tony. Go ahead.
Okay.
Please finish up.
Basically, that's about all I wanted to say because I severely contest the fact that they were Christians, that we're a Christian nation. We never were. We were a deist nation. Yes, we do believe in God. We do believe in the Creator.
Okay, thank you for making your point here. Alan and Aptosh.
Could I just respond very briefly to that? Because there's an element of truth in what was said. Certainly there were these deists here. They call them the Illuminati, call them what you will. There were people who were carrying on the tradition of the ancient mystery religions, which is what Illuminism was. But there were also Christians. And what people have missed is there were two forces, one the Christian and the other the occult. And so I appreciate the gentleman's call. I think that he was part of what he said is true, but you must understand there was a strong Christian element. There was also a strong occult element, but they had to remain hidden because that's what the word occult means, hidden.
Okay. Alan in Aptos, you're on KSCO. Go.
I applaud your voice in the wilderness, Dr. Montes. I, too, was a listener in Bob Listener's class in civics in 40 years ago.
Wow.
Which
Alan is this?
I'm just Alan in Aptos. I've never called.
All right.
And basically, I followed the Christian way and went to seminary and kept going more and more, looking deeper into it, Greek and Hebrew. I've looked deep into the whole thing. And my conspiratorial belief came from ancient history, more of how the Romans operated with the Christian thought. But I also, after that, I went into magic or just a little bit, but basically open to many different ways. I just became a carpenter, and anything that man has made has been remodeled. The Greeks remodeled the Christian religion. The Romans severely limited it. Of what we've gained, we got, 1/16 in the New England revivals that really changed the country, like you said. I totally agree with you.
Great. Thanks and very much for your call. I'm sorry I'm rushing because we have so many phone calls that we have to get
but
to.
But look at the old great picture of the black and white. If you get a little higher, we all are one. And basically... the works say that God is in control of the thing, and we do need to awake. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your call to KSCO. Rich and Salinas, you're next.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Montes and Mike. I had a question regarding the Masons. I was told somewhere, I don't remember where I heard it, that all the presidents we've had have all been Masons. And the second part of that is can you have a female Mason? In other words, is Hillary going to be a Mason? If not, is Bill going to run the country for us behind the scenes?
Well, first of all our presidents have not been Masons. There are probably about a third or quarter of them. So, and some of those actually were certainly not into the occult aspects of Masonry. In other words, I think that Andrew Jackson, a Mason, but he was one of the great patriots of America. So I think you have to understand that it is only at the upper echelons of Masonry that people begin to understand that this is a continuation of the ancient mysteries and that is founded on Gnosticism.
Okay, Rich. I'm sorry, Rich. I've got to move on here. We've got to really step up the pace here. We're not going to be able to finish and get everything through. Scott in Santa Cruz, John Birch Society. You're on.
That was the reason I tuned in today, and I really haven't heard much about it. So I was hoping maybe Dr. Stan could elaborate when it started, what political, religious views, what their agenda. Is it still active? Does it go by another name? Basically, if you can encapsulate on John Birch Society.
Well, I dropped out of the Birch Society in 1988. I believe, of course, most of the Birchers are really great people. They were a staunchly anti-communist, pro-American, patriotic organization. I believe that there were certain problems there. I disagreed with them on certain major issues, and eventually we parted company. I have the greatest respect for the members of the Birch Society and for the current leadership, but I certainly can't speak for them, and I would disagree with some of their positions. I'd say they're about 95% accurate. That's probably about as accurate as I am.
Well, that's pretty good. All right. Hey, thanks very much, Scott, for your call to the Saturday special. Let's see. Big Gun Gordy, real quick, you're on.
Good morning, Phil. I wanted to let people know what they can do about what's happening.
Good.
Realize you have a soul and do everything you can to protect your soul. There's an old Wesleyan hymn that goes, to each and every nation and then to every man comes the moment to decide between good and evil. That you have to do as an individual. You can't do it in a group. You need to do that to protect your soul. You need to decide for yourself through deep thinking, through your spirituality, what is good and what is evil. The devil is the most deceitful critter that exists, and you will be deceived if you do not do everything you can to protect your soul and realize that your soul lives on after the body. This is all transient on this earth. So don't make deals or bargains by going into the occult, going into these easy paths, because you will lose your soul. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, BGG. Happy you said it on KSCO, where Minerva in Soquel is up next. Go ahead, Minerva.
Hi. I want to ask about the president's law directive, which he enacted May the 9th of this year. And it gives him emergency power. It supersedes the Constitution. And he appointed a czar, Francis Townsend, for the Continental President's Directive. This was broadcast on Coast to Coast, May the 24th, by Mr. Jerry Corsi. And he gave www.whitehouse.gov and also WorldNet Daily. Homeland Security.
Did you know about that, Dr. Stan?
Yes, it was on May the 9th. The president put out a new presidential directive, one for national security, one for home security. And basically it is the plan, in case of a national emergency of any sort, declare a dictatorship in America, and they'll have then the power to begin to round up people and put them in the concentration camps, which are very real. They're here. In fact, we give $385 million a year to Halliburton, or one of the subsidiaries, to be prepared to have these concentration camps ready in the case of a national emergency. Now, if you doubt that, you go to Google and you put in Halliburton, $385 million, concentration camps. You'll find it's true. They're ready. They're planning on a dictatorship. And the average American has no idea what's going on.
Wait. Just because something is printed and comes up on the internet doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
Well, I would be glad to give you the articles out of the newspaper. You can get it off the internet. We certainly have checked into this. There's no question. Chris Ruddy actually got in touch with the Office of Homeland Security that was actually putting up the money. So, and Chris Ruddy is a very responsible a friend of mine.
Right. Okay. Richard N. Watsonville, you're on with Dr. Stan and MZ.
Thank you. Dr. Hey. Stan.
Yes.
Did you quit the John Birch Society after McDonald was killed? Remember, he was shot down in that jet.
Yes, he was shot down in 83, and I left about 88.
Yeah, I remember that when they shot down the Koreans, I think.
No, it was the Russians shot it down. They shot it down over Sakhalin Island.
How many people were on that plane?
I can't tell you, but there were several hundred.
Several hundred. And he was a congressman or something.
That's right.
So let me ask you this question I asked Charlie yesterday. You're really into the Constitution of the United States being the supreme law of the land.
Yes.
Can you see it getting to the point where we have a constitutional convention and tune up that constitution and make it the supreme law of the world?
No.
Not at all, huh?
No. And the worst thing you could do would be to have a constitutional convention because it'd start to change it. And I can't think of any change. We could change it for the better.
Yeah.
I think what we need to do is use that constitution and adhere to it and hold our elected representatives. And when congressmen vote for things that are unconstitutional, they should be tried for treason. And well, I think we'd be trying about 434 congressmen for that, because almost every one of them votes for unconstitutional measures except for Congressman Ron Paul.
You mean to tell me you wouldn't vote for no more charges at the ATM machine?
Okay.
Come on, Doc. We need some tune-up in that Constitution.
Well, I think the banks
have got control of us. The insurance company's got control of us. The government doesn't have it.
I don't think the solution is change the Constitution. I would just change the ATM machines.
Adios.
Oh, thanks, Richard. We got to do a commercial break. We haven't done that in this house. Let's do it, Dave, right now.
When it simply must get done right and on time and on budget, call ALS Construction of Marina, 831-521-6885. ALS is a licensed construction company that remodels, renovates, plumbs, electrifies, paints, and cements on time and on budget. Listen.
Hi, my name's Jack Sheldahl. It may be a cliche, but ALS Construction does perform quick, efficient, professional, and clean service. When my job was completed, the only evidence left of any construction was a very beautiful fence.
When you need to get the job done right and on time and on budget, give ALS Construction of Marina a call. ALS Construction offers free estimates, fair prices, excellent references, and guaranteed work. That's ALS Construction of Marina, 831-521-6885, 521-6885. That's 521-6885.
Hey, it's MZ. I want to share one of my very private emails with you. It's from the famous Andy of Kitchen Express in response to my request for him to email me bullet points for his new ad. AMZ, here are the bullet points. Celebrating our 10th anniversary and have become Santa Cruz's oldest continuously owned kitchen and bath showroom, recently voted Santa Cruz County's number one kitchen and bath showroom by my son. Featuring 12 lines of custom and modular cabinets for all areas of the house, for all budgets, with over 20 years of experience and expert computer kitchen design and consultation. We know our stuff. Countertop headquarters for Corian, Silestone, Caesarstone, and Zodiacqua quartz counters. Nobody does it better or quicker. Decorative plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath. Come see our working shower demonstration featuring multiple shower heads and working steam shower. Come and take a shower. Extensive selection of cabinet hardware. Up to 60% off every day. Thanks, MZ. Andy. Kitchen Express is located on the Frontage Road just off of Highway 1 at Rio Del Mar. Exit 662-3700.
Halloween is coming. Do you have your pumpkins? New Life Community Services Pumpkin Patch is located at the corner of Thurber Lane and Soquel Drive between the drive-in and Dominican Hospital. You'll find a huge selection of pumpkins in all colors, classic orange, red, green, and more. And you'll also find pumpkins in all sizes, from baseball size to over 100 pounds. Our pumpkins are 100% organically grown. Don't forget to bring the kids in costumes for a photo opportunity in front of the hay bale pyramid or the inflatable tunnel. Buy more than one pumpkin and receive a discount. And present your pumpkin patch receipt and receive a $5 discount on your Christmas tree purchase when the Christmas trees arrive. Teachers, we have bus parking, so bring the whole class and save money. The New Life Community Services Pumpkin Patch is open daily from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Friday and Saturday till 10 p.m. New Life Community Services Pumpkin Patch, located at the corner of Thurber Lane and Soquel Drive between the drive-in and Dominican Hospital. Mention KSCO or KMY and receive $2 off each pumpkin that you purchase.
If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, then you need to listen to this message. If you're buying or selling real estate, you need the right realtor to represent you. That realtor is Randy Turnquist, a 36-year resident of Santa Cruz County that really knows the market. What is a good market? Randy will give you the facts and let you decide based on current market statistics. Many potential sellers or buyers don't think they need a realtor until they're ready to buy or sell. That is simply not the case. Buying or selling real estate is one of the biggest things you'll do in life. Don't wait until you need a realtor to shop for one. Start building that relationship now with Randy Turnquist Realtor. You can reach Randy at 1-888-496-9655 or go to www.ksco.com, look for the big yellow box and put in Realtor. You'll go directly to Randy's website. If you're looking to buy, here are a few of Randy's listings. Santa Cruz Gardens, 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, $739,000. 3-bedroom condo in Watsonville, $449,000. For more information on these properties or other properties, call Randy Turnquist Realtor at 1-888-496-9655.
Help me out here, Dave. How many seconds do we have?
35 seconds.
We have 35 seconds. Okay, thank you, Dr. Stan. We got to have you back. It was a great program today. I learned a lot.
My pleasure. God
and,
bless.
You too. And here, let's just end it officially. KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Don't forget Quigley's thing today at 1 hour from now at the courthouse steps. It's 12 noon.
Bachelor 2 now confirmed dead in that fiery chain reaction accident inside a truck tunnel on a rain-slicked Southern California freeway. 10 people hurt last night in the 15-vehicle crash inside the I-5 tunnel. Sergeant Matthew Hill of the California Highway Patrol.
They can't rush in. They need to make sure that it's safe, and unfortunately, with the intense heat that's been given off from the fire involving the commercial vehicles, the structure of the tunnel itself is actually in question.
Interstate 5 still shut down. At Iraq's border with Turkey, Turkish troops are massing, fending off attacks from Kurdish rebels. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice urging restraint on both sides, dispatching diplomats to the region. Concerned an invasion of Iraq by Turkey may be imminent, the area a key supply route for U.S. troops in Iraq. Harsh criticism from the former top U.S. commander in Iraq.
There has been a glaring, unfortunate display of incompetent strategic leadership within our national leaders.
Retired Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez in a speech that aired on C-SPAN.
As a Japanese proverb says, action without vision is a nightmare. There is no question that America is living a nightmare with no end in sight.
Sanchez, who retired in November of last year, called his military career a casualty of the Abu Ghraib scandal. Today, the White House issued a statement thanking Sanchez for his service, noting the U.S. ambassador to Iraq has reported conditions improving there. President Bush talking up free trade in his weekly radio address.
Millions of American jobs depend on exports. More exports support better and higher paying jobs. And to keep our economy expanding, we need to keep expanding trade.
Overriding the president's veto of an expanded children's health insurance program, the focus of the Democrats' radio response. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore. Encore.
Florence Henderson.
Your kids are all writing books about stuff going on behind the scenes.
I know. Well, I haven't read that book. Marsha's yeah. New book. Maureen McCormick wrote this book. I have a feeling that that is just something that some press agent sent out, that she and Jan had a little affair.
You're hoping, because as the mom, you wanted to know everything that was going on.
Absolutely. But I think it's on the same level as the date I supposedly had with Greg Brady.
Which never happened.
What do you mean, suppose it? My goodness, you would have thought we had a big, hot affair.
Can I ask a controversial question?
Yes.
You're cooking with canola oil.
Yes.
How's that going?
It's going great. You know, I'm always cooking with something, baby. But I sold Wesson off for 22 years.
Right.
I think that's some kind of a record.
Right.
And everybody needs healthy fat, you know. And
this isn't trans fat. This is oil.
It's perfect.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
Could going to a NASCAR race be harmful to your health? A controversy started in Congress.
Michael Waltrip changes lanes, tries to squeeze under Dale Jarrett.
Staffers from the House Homeland Security Committee went fact-finding about public health preparedness at mass gatherings
by attending two recent NASCAR races. Before heading out, they got immunizations for hepatitis, diphtheria, and the flu. Some lawmakers around Charlotte and Talladega who heard about it got a little offended. But House Homeland Security Panel Chairman Bernie Thompson says the staffers visited hospitals and jails and talked to hazmat teams. He says it is prudent for the staffers to get the same kind of shots the cops and paramedics get, regardless of the venue. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
Now here's a challenge for second. Jeff Green steps out of line. He'll race alongside Michael Walker for the second.
A Wisconsin toddler losing his driving privileges after a joyride in his toy car.
3 years old. A little early to lose driving privileges, but a relieved father has taken away the keys to his toddler's toy Mustang GT after the boy's heart-stopping joyride west of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He and a two-year-old passenger cruising in the battery-powered car along a busy stretch of highway onto a sidewalk and over a bridge. Frantic neighbors chasing them until a cop pulled them over. His father looking for them all the while. At least the tot knew the rules of the road. Witnesses say he obeyed the signs and even stopped at a red light. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
In Major League playoff action, no joy for Cleveland Indians fans after the Tribe's 10-3 drubbing by the Boston Red Sox last night in the American League Championship Series Game 2. Tonight in Boston, the Rockies beat the Diamondbacks 3-2 in 11 innings last night to take a 2-0 lead in the National League Championship Series. Game 3 is Sunday. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, rather. You have it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, October 13th, 2007. Today's forecast calls for mostly sunny skies this afternoon, highs around 67 degrees, with winds north-northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, you can expect clear to partly cloudy conditions, lows around 50 degrees, winds southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And today's Monterey Bay Boaters forecast, northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 2 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 6 feet at 10 seconds and southwest 1 to 2 feet at 14 seconds. Outside the studio, it is 69 degrees. The time is 12:06 and it's time for Perspectives right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host. And joining us today to host the show is Dr. David Biles and our very special guest,